The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today on the program is Julia DeGuise. She's the program manager for the senior volunteer programs, foster grandparents among them, from the HDC. Also giving moral support, but tells me she will not speak on the air. We're going to see if we can change that. We've got Teresa Whitaker. She's the program assistant. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
I'm not shy, ladies. You'll find that out about me. We're going to be talking about the programs you offer. First of all, senior volunteer programs, not just foster grandparents. There are others involved.
RSVP is the other program. There are two. The foster grandparent program, we're going to talk about them separately. Foster grandparents are volunteers who work primarily in schools with kids in classrooms, kids that are struggling to succeed. We have them in here on county mostly in elementary schools and preschools. That's kind of where they work. And what they are it's an extra hand for teachers. They're assigned to the kids in a classroom that need a little bit of extra help, that are maybe behind in their reading or in math skills, or like in kindergarten, maybe they haven't learned their alphabet yet. So you have a foster grandparent in your classroom, and that's what that person does, is spend time one-on-one with that child to help that child get caught up or stay caught up.
Now, is it the foster grandparent assigned to only one child, or do they kind of mill around the room and make their presence known, because kids are kids, and
sure,
there's going to be, you know, almost jealousy involved in here that I only have one.
Yeah, absolutely. Grandparents are usually assigned up to four kids in a classroom to work, to focus time on during the week, but they, of course, are grandma or grandpa to everybody, because like you said, kids like to have the attention too, so they kind of get along with all the kids too.
Sounds like there has to be a good working relationship with the teachers involved in order to make this work for the kids and work for the school.
Sure. We go, well, Teresa, that's her job, is to work with the teachers and the grandparents in the classrooms, and the teachers identify specific kids, and they set certain goals for those kids based on what that child needs. Like I said, be it reading skills or whatever. Sometimes it's just manners. Sometimes it's getting along with other kids. Sometimes it's focusing. But that's all on paper, and the grandparents know what they're supposed to do. The teachers track that throughout the year, and then at the end of the year, they kind of say, yeah, this worked really well, or this child is just really struggling, is going to need more help next year. So, yeah, it is very, it's very much intensive with the teacher's assistance and working with the grandparent with those kids.
Sounds like there would need to be training involved in this for the foster grandparent. I mean, you're dealing with kids, you know, there are certain, you know, old school methods that were used in the past that are not used today. And all those things have to be thoroughly explained, the Donnie do and Donnie don'ts.
Sure, yeah. Before a grandparent can start in a classroom when they're new, they have to shadow another grandparent for 20 hours to find out the ins and outs of what it's like to be a volunteer in a school, in a specific school. But we also do 20 hours of what we call classroom training, and that's doing just exactly what you just said. They learn about the program, but they also learn about working in schools today and working with kids and what to do when you come across certain situations like behavior issues, that kind of thing. We take the lead from the teachers in the classrooms. We teach the grandparents to go to the teacher to learn how that teacher wants to handle certain things. But there are universal rules that we cover ahead of time. And then every month throughout the year, we do an in-service training where we get all of our volunteers together and we cover topics like that. As new things come along, we teach the grandparents the new theories, new different things that are out there for people to know about working with kids. Now, we call our grandparents... we have parapros in classrooms now. Okay, you know, they're teacher's aides, but they call them parapros now because they do more than what teacher's aides do. But we look at our volunteers as kids' aides. Their job is to be there for the kids.
Okay. To become a foster grandparent in the school, how much time is it going to take from your life? And, I mean, do you have certain, you know, restrictions? I know there's going to be background checks. We'll go into that, too.
Certainly.
But... you know, a lot of the seniors head south, and that's the prime school time. I mean,
sure,
you can go through all the training, and if you're going to be gone four of the months that their classes are in session, I don't think it really helps you that much.
Yeah, the foster grandparents are required to meet an income guideline, and it's a pretty low income guideline, so in order to qualify to be on the program. Foster grandparents receive a stipend for their service. What that is, it's a $265 an hour, kind of a payback because they're required to volunteer at least 20 hours a week. So we assume that it costs them something, and we don't want it to cost them anything. Because they're low income, we're able to offer them this $265 an hour that's not considered an income. Okay, so those folks generally aren't traveling south anyway. The folks that we're looking for to be these kinds of volunteers, they kind of stick around here. We ask that they be 55 or older. These are federally mandated programs, so these are regulations that we have to follow. So 55, the income guideline, they have to meet that. And they have to be able to serve 20 hours a week in classrooms today, which can be kind of challenging.
And you call it a federally program. Is it just federally funded and you have to meet the guidelines to get the funding? And it is your program, you set mm-hmm. it up the way you want it, or is this a national type of program?
This is a national service program. I don't know if you've heard of AmeriCorps. That seems to be one that most people are more familiar with. Foster Grandparent Program is similar to AmeriCorps. It's funded through the Corporation for National and Community Service, and it's mandated through them as well. It's been around since 1965, though. It's one of the original War on Poverty programs that's left, along with Head Start. And we're governed by federal law, and we do receive federal dollars, but we also receive money from the state of Michigan. We also receive local dollars from United Way. But we do have to follow regulations laid out by the federal government.
So it sounds like paperwork.
Of course. Always paperwork. So,
if people want to get involved, how do they learn more? Can they go on a website? Do they have to talk personally to the HDC officials involved?
Mm-hmm. The website.
How do you do it?
Yeah, you can go to our website and get a hold of us through there, or you can call our 800 number, 800-843-6394, and just say you want to talk to somebody in senior volunteer programs, and we'll talk with you and set up an appointment to meet with you. And we do background checks, like you had mentioned. We do a series of background checks on the foster grandparent volunteers. They have checks done through the state police. We do child abuse checks, we do sex offender registry checks, and now we're also doing FBI fingerprint checks on the foster grandparents.
And, you know, it's not to say the people trying to do this are bad, you're just making sure you read the news,
absolutely.
You hear all the stuff that happens, and the last thing you need is a predator trying to get in there.
Absolutely. It's been a very successful program. We are recruiting heavily in Huron County right now. We'd like to get some more grandparents on board out here, so we're looking for anybody who might be interested.
At this point in the year, are you looking at the turnaround to them getting in the classroom probably next fall?
Probably, yeah. If someone's interested now, we can get them started in a classroom before the end of the year, but it's more just to get familiar with the program, and they don't really get involved a whole lot. It's getting late in the year, but we would like to have a full roster by fall. We'd like to have a few more here out in Huron County. So
it seems like it's a program where continuity is important. The kids have the same person coming all the time, someone they learn to trust and can talk to, as opposed to, oh, this is foster grandparent today and tomorrow it'll be somebody else.
No, they're assigned to a single classroom or sometimes two classrooms, but yes, those children get the same, you're right, continuity. And sometimes that's the only continuity they have in their lives. You know, grandma's going to be there. The teachers, obviously, in the school are always obviously there, but grandma's going to be there for him. And grandpa, I shouldn't single out just
That's
grandma's.
An important point, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's male or female.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We kind of get the impression in schools, you know, that, you know, aren't a lot of guy helpers around, but grandparents are grandparents.
That's right.
Any gender.
Yep, that's right.
And basically, do you have guidelines as to, you know, got to be in a certain health or something? I mean, you have to be able to get around. I mean,
you
have to be able to maybe be able to lift a small child if you needed to get them out of harm's way or whatever, because you're gonna want some of that safety factor in there.
Mm-hmm. Right. We ask that volunteers have a physical every year, and we take care of any costs involved in that. So they have to be physically fit in order to be there 20 hours a week. You have to be able to take that. So, there's some health issues involved. However, we work with people too to accommodate if we need to. If they have disabilities that need to be accommodated, we can do that as well.
You can't discriminate if they are capable of
mm-hmm.
doing it.
Sure.
You just
mm-hmm.
have to make sure that the person meets program requirements.
Absolutely.
And can be a benefit to the kids.
Yep.
Terrific. It doesn't sound cheap. The feds probably don't cover everything that you want to do, and I understand that's where fundraisers and other things come into play.
Sure, yep.
And you've got one coming up?
We do. We have Spellmasters 2.0 coming up, and that's going to actually help fund both of the programs that we run. The RSVP program is the other one. That's not a as costly as the FGP, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Spellmasters 2.0 is a spelling bee. And it's a spelling bee for grown-ups because we don't think that kids should have all the fun. So we want to get some grown-ups out there to compete spelling words. But it's not an individual spelling bee where you stand up in line and you're next and you have to spell a word. And if you get it wrong, you have to go sit down. It doesn't work that way. It's teams of four. And everybody gets the word out at the same time, and each team gets to figure out amongst themselves whether it's spelled this way or that way. And they have a certain length of time to do that. And then when the bell rings, they have to stop and hand their word over to the judge. And if they get the word spelled right, they get to continue. If they spell it wrong, they have to decide whether they want to continue and pay $10 and buy that word back, or they can just go home. It's up to them. There are four rounds.
When you buy the word back, does that mean you just get another chance and a new word?
No, you don't get a new word. You're just buying that one. That's all. You just bought that one.
I just didn't know if you get to continue. The whole trick was, all right, you didn't get that word, $10, we'll give you another one.
Yeah, well, you get the next word. You get to go on and continue to compete. And there are four rounds. In the first three rounds, there's 10 words in each round. Those are the words that you can buy back if you do misspell them. And in the fourth round, and the rounds do get harder as you go along. In the fourth round...
Well, that's the way to run a contest.
That's right. The fourth round, you spell the word wrong, then you're pretty much done. So.
And they're all words you'll find in an English dictionary. They're
absolutely.
Not,
Dictionary.com. That's where I get all the definitions for all the words. I won't tell you where I get the words. I find them. I've seen them all, though. The words on the list this year, I've actually seen them all in writing at some point during the year. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I assume you have to leave your tablets and smartphones at the waiting, because you can go to dictionary.com.
And look up a word pretty quickly. Yeah. I would say that we wouldn't like to see that, but you really don't have that much time either.
Oh, okay.
So you have 15 seconds after the word master is done. He'll read the word and give a definition and use it in a sentence, and then you only have 15 seconds to come up with a spelling for it. So,
long ones or just... obscure ones?
Not too obscure. A couple words from last year. We did this in Tuscola County last year for the first time, and it was a lot of fun. But from the first round, some of the words that we had were precede, asylum, receipt. And you might think that those words are kind of easy, but the trick comes in when you've got four people that have to agree on how to spell that word. That's where the trick comes in. You might think that you're right, by golly, you're right, but somebody else might think they are too, and they're not. And you got to decide. So... And the words, like I said, they do get harder. So, with each round.
And those that are wrong, $10.
$10 more, and you can. And it was pretty successful last year. A lot of people bought those words back, and now you don't have to bring the cash with you. We'll invoice.
Oh, well, you're very nice.
Absolutely.
You know their addresses.
You betcha.
If you want to get involved in this, what do you have to do? Obviously, you just don't show up that day. You've got their names and addresses, so...
Yeah, you need to pre-register, and the registration fee is $100, so it's like $25 a person to participate. And you just need to call 1-800-843-6394. The registration forms have been in the Tribune a couple times a week. They're also they're in the View this week, I believe, because the Tribune and the View are co-sponsoring the event here. And you can get the information from them as well. And our website... And Facebook.
And all the funds raised locally stay local.
Sure, they're going
to
stay right here.
A lot of people like to know that when they're contributing, because it's not going to an organization who's going to divide it up across the country or whatever.
No. The Thumb Area Foster Grandparent Program and the Thumb Area RSVP, that's what we are, and that's where the money stays, right here on Sanilac and Tuscola counties. So it all stays right here. And this money will go directly to benefit the volunteers in both of those programs.
Terrific. Now, you were talking about the RSVP program.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it isn't because you've been invited to something. What does RSVP stand for?
You have been invited to serve, actually. RSVP, it technically stands for Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, RSVP. And it's been around since 1971. It's a sister program to the Foster Grandparent Program, so the funding sources are the same. The stream comes down the same way. And it's a volunteer program that's more of a true peer volunteer, where if you came to me and you were 55 or older and said that you wanted to volunteer, but you didn't know what you wanted to do for sure, what was available, then I would take the application from you and do a few background checks and talk to you about what you would be interested in doing or what might be available that might interest you. And then I have organizations that belong, that are signed up with us, and I'd match you up basically a dating service kind of a thing. So
you refer.
Sure, we refer. And we also work with organizations that use volunteers, that or maybe they want to use volunteers, but they don't now. They just don't have the ability to develop a volunteer program. I will work with them to do that. Or if they're using volunteers, they don't have time to recruit, they don't have time to do background checks, we do that as well. So, for example, the Homeless Coalition, if they're having a fundraising event and they need help, they'll call me up and they'll say, I need volunteers to do this or that. So I get my volunteer list and I'll call my volunteers and we just match them up that way. We have some that are totally permanently placed as well. We have some that work at medical care facility that are there all the time. They go on a regular basis, that means. We have a volunteer at the baby pantry here in Huron County. She goes, I believe it's weekly, to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. We also run signature programs, and my two favorite programs that we do are the KISS program, that's Keeping Independent Seniors Safe. That's an RSVP volunteer who makes a telephone call from their own home to someone who is isolated or shut in, like a senior who doesn't get out, who isn't able to drive or get out and about much. So that person will call them every day just to see how they're doing, allowing them
that
to kind of
a particular kind of person adept at talking to
sure.
people you really don't know and
right.
keeping a conversation
right.
going.
Yeah, and it's really more of a safety check for the
yeah.
person that's isolated.
I mean,
isolated
I'm sure
and
the person who's
yeah.
isolated is seeing this as some contact and
well, yep.
doesn't want to say goodbye real quick.
No, and we know that. When we train our callers, we're training them to be the contact, but we also tell them that it's going to grow into more than that, and they really don't mind that. But what we do with the KISS program is if our volunteer calls that person and that person doesn't answer the phone, we actually have a list of emergency contacts. And we go right down that list and we try to find someone on that list that will go and check on the person if they haven't answered their phone. And if we go through that list and can't find anybody, then we make an emergency call like to 911 and we do have a well check set, put in place so that that person will be checked on. Because sometimes somebody falls during the night or they get sick or something and they can't get to their phone. That's what the purpose of the program is. Always develops into more than that though. So, you know, the other program that I really like is the Silver Companion program, which is similar, and it's a visiting program. It's just that. It's a volunteer who goes to a home of a person who doesn't have a lot of contact, and once a month or once a week or whatever they want, and they just visit with that person just to keep them connected to the outside world.
And I remember we used to have a lady years ago who would call us every day, asking us what day it is and what the date is and
aww.
The day of the week. And we always assumed it was so that when a person who was checking on her every day came, she could tell them, you know,
oh,
yeah, I know what day it
there
is.
There you
today,
go.
You know? And it was, and when she stopped calling, we actually contacted officials to find
sure,
out if she
see?
Was okay.
Sure.
I
and mean, that's, yeah.
It's you just get a connection to these people. They weren't, you know, you get, you know, any mm-hmm. business gets, you know, crank callers and stuff.
Right.
But this was genuinely, you could tell that she just wanted to know this and, you know, and mm-hmm. we were sure that she was impressing a caregiver or a visiting nurse or somebody who was coming over, you mm-hmm. know, that, sure, I know what today is.
Sure. Or maybe she just wanted to hear somebody else's voice,
and,
you know.
We just kind of figured, you know, that she'd call us, you know, always about the same time, which mm-hmm. made us think, you know, the nurse was coming at 9, so we'll call at 10 to 9 and,
yep.
and hold it that long until she gets
here. Yeah, that's cool. That's really neat, though. That's neat. And that's what we do. That's what our RSVP volunteers do. Now, RSVP does a lot of other things as well. The Home Delivered Meals Program, we have a lot of RSVP volunteers doing that. Medical transportation, where they take folks to doctor's appointments if they don't have any other way to get there. An RSVP volunteer can really do pretty much anything within a nonprofit setting. So as long as they're not replacing someone's job, you know, mm-hmm. they can pretty much do anything.
Yeah, well, you don't need volunteers replacing paying jobs at,
nope.
you know,
nope.
in this economy.
No. And we are going to be launching a new program this fall and throughout the next school year. It's called Homework Heroes with RSVP volunteers. It's similar to foster grandparents, where they'll be working in classrooms with kids, but they won't have the 20-hour-a-week requirement. And they may not work with the same child every single day or every week for the whole year. What we see our homework heroes as is somebody that can go in, if a teacher has a child who's struggling, maybe taking spelling tests, for example, then a homework hero can be a volunteer who goes in and just spends a little bit of time each week with that child learning their spelling words. Or maybe they have a hard time taking the test, and they can have a volunteer come in and help that child take the test. Maybe a child's struggling learning their ABCs. We can have a volunteer to come in just to do that. And
when you first started, I thought you were just getting future spell masters.
Well, there's that. We'll give them the big words. We'll give them the fourth list, right? So, but that's what we're looking to build up with the RSVP project come fall. RSVP volunteers are 55 and older, and that's pretty much the only requirement. We do background checks on them as well. So
anytime you're dealing with kids today, you have to do that. I mean, I don't care what organization it is. If they're credible organizations, they're going to do the checks.
Absolutely.
And people should, you know, ask that this has been done too. They're your kids. They're, you know.
Sure.
Just don't have anybody taking care of them.
Right. And no matter what our volunteers are doing with RSVP, because, well, like the commodities food distribution that our agency holds, we have volunteers that work at that event as well. They're not working directly with kids. They're just taking people's signatures. All of our RSVP volunteers have background checks done. All of them do. So anybody who, if you ask us for a volunteer and we give you one, you can be assured that we have done background checks on them.
And I assume there's also confidentiality involved in a lot of this. You talk about the commodities. I mean, you don't need somebody who's spreading around, oh, they're getting the free commodities, and, you know, that type of thing. All of this has to come into play, and when you're background checking people, you're checking the quality of the person.
Absolutely. Part of our application process is review and signing a confidentiality agreement with our organization. So, and it's part of the training with the foster grandparents, big time. Every year we review that constantly with them. And with RSVP volunteers, we always review that as well.
And that's got to be hard, so for the foster grandparents who want to brag on the little ones they're helping, but, you know, you've got that confidentiality, and, you know, they have the right to their privacy.
Yes.
That they're not having, you know, telling everyone they're having problems or whatever. So it's kind of a double-edged sword you're going to have to fall on in that regard.
Yeah, it kind of is, and we don't really have too much trouble with it. But for the foster grandparents, I think the thing they enjoy more than anything is when they go, after they've been on the program for, a year or so, they go to Walmart or Kmart or to McDonald's or whatever, and they see kids that are in their class, and the kids come running up to them, Grandma, Grandma, and give them hugs out in public like that. And that's fine, you know, and the grandmas just love that. We have some of our grandparents that have been on this year. We have how many? Two, 24 years? Yep, two that have been on for 24 years. That's a long time. I made a talk.
She just said it louder.
She did. I'm going to pay for that. and we have a couple that are in their 90s that still do their service. I mean, yeah. Volunteering keeps you active and it keeps you healthy. Being out in the community and being connected, it's been proven over and over again. It keeps you healthier longer.
And keeping your mind active.
Absolutely.
You know, use it or lose it type of thing. I mean, if you... And no one will make you use it more than kids.
That's right. That's right.
Because they've got a million questions, and sometimes you wonder where they come from. But terrific. Again, you've got this Spellmasters 2.0. When is it coming up again? There's one in Huron, Sanilac, and Tuscola County.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the winners all together, as I understand it.
Absolutely.
For the big event.
Yep. Yeah, the first one next week is in Tuscola County. It's on April 9th. Here in Huron County, it's April 16th, and it'll be at the Tech Center. And we are looking for teams, and we invite anybody and everybody to think about it and sign up, because it is so much fun. And then
four-man team.
And then
four-person team,
excuse me. Yeah. And then Sanilac will be the following week. On April 30th, we'll have the winner from each county get together down at Northwood Meadows in Cass City for the championship, for the Tri-County Championship. And the honor that you get, the trophies with the spelling bee on top of the trophy, and you get the honor of being the Spellmaster champ for a year. And then you get to come back and compete next year for free.
And so. you were mentioning before the show happens, when you bow out, you get kind of stung.
You do, a little bit. We have a little bee with a little stinger on him, and we have balloons on everybody's table. And if you decide that you're done spelling and you don't want to pay $10 for any more words, we'll pop your balloon with our little bee.
Sounds so cruel, popping their balloons.
We have fun. We have little things on the tables for folks too. We give everybody little packages of Smarties in case they need them, and we give them a bit of honey just to keep them sweet. So,
but they can't put a $100,000 bar into your.
Thought about doing that to see if anybody would catch on to that, but then I thought it could backfire on me. So.
When you get to the end and say, well, you owe me $300,000.
Yeah, no, that won't work. But yeah, no, it is a lot of fun. And we'll take registrations for the Huron County event right up through the 12th or even the day before. Just call us and let us know that you want to come, that you have a team. And if you have a group of folks that really want to participate, go to a business here in town and ask them to sponsor you. The sponsor will get a trophy, too, if you win.
And if it grows, you could get competition between like businesses, banks, or schools.
Yeah.
Schools, it seems to me, would be a terrific competition in the area.
Yeah.
You get their spelling teachers in and just see who remembers the most from college.
Right. Yeah, I think that would be the most fun. We talked about four-man teams. We actually had last year, we had a team bring a fifth person in. And we don't have any rules that say you can't. But if you remember what I told you, you have to all agree on how to spell a word, and adding another person in there just adds one more to the challenge. It doesn't make it easier to have more people at the table. So.
Unanimous is unanimous, but when you... But then again, sometimes an odd number gives you a 2-3.
That doesn't make it any more right if it's wrong.
No, but I mean, at least you got a tiebreaker.
Yep.
But would the registration be the same, or just $25?
Yeah, it would be $100. But I really don't encourage that you bring a fifth person, because it does make it harder. It really does. So.
Yeah, they call things fifth wheels for a reason.
Yeah, or red shirts if you really want to. Ringers, whatever.
Ringers. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming out and all the good work you've been doing in the schools and for people in their homes who are lonely and need to be checked on, and just have a little bit of companionship and just a contact with the world here and there through your foster grandparents and the RSVP programs. If people want more information, again, they can go to your website and call the office, whether you want to volunteer or if you know somebody who could use the services.
Absolutely.
Because referrals, I would imagine, is the best way for you to find out people are out there.
Yep.
If you don't know about them, you can't help them.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I wish you a good turnout, and I'm glad I'm not doing the spelling, because I would be forking over $10 so fast.
Yeah. That would be good, though.
If I didn't have the spell checker in my computer, oh, man, no one could read my stuff.
Teresa, did I forget anything? Did I leave anything out?
No.
Words. Our guests today on the program have been Julia DeGuise, program manager for the Foster Grandparents Senior Volunteer Programs like RSVP, and also Teresa Whitaker, program assistant and GabFest. And I want you to... be sure to get more information. They got the Spellmasters 2.0. It's a spelling bee for adults. It's a big fundraiser to help these programs defray the costs that the sources from outside, like federal sources, just don't seem to cover everything. And the way the economy is going, I'm sure they're cutting back on things all the time.
Yes.
So
yes.
It just helps to have that local angle. Everything raised stays in the county. So that's another fact that I know a lot of people love to have when they're contributing to something. And it's all coming up. Huron County will be at the Tech Center April the 16th. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.